Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Jesus. He's my closest, my chosen friend. I fell on my face just the other day. If some of my so-called friends found out, maybe they would have said,
drop it, drop it. We don't need it.
But I ran to the friend of all friends. His arms were wide open. He picked me up and put me back together again. He's my closest friend.
Live my life in pain without you. Till that day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.
Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Michael Smith, and tonight we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee coming with part two of his teaching from last week titled Making Sense of Our Senses. That's part two of Making Sense of Our Senses. For those out there who are listening, please go ahead and get your pen and paper ready and get ready to take some notes, and that way we can have some dialogue and commentary at the end of the broadcast, and I'll go over what Pastor Lee was going to bring forth tonight. So with that being said, Pastor Lee, I'm going to go ahead and let you have the mic.
All right. Thank you again, Brother Mike. So, beloved, if you would, let's just join our hearts in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to quiet our hearts and mind and allow the peace of God to rule. Let the fire of your Spirit, Father God, cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, teaching us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Making sense out of our senses. You know, last week when we kind of got into this, it was because of thinking of hearing information and not processing it, and then going through the whole process over and over and over again. We have developed our belief system from a couple of things that are common in our life. They happen independently or interdependently and in multiple combinations every day by hearing, seeing, speaking, and doing. That's the way we functionally craft our belief system. And then we can go further and call that process what we understand as our five senses. That is, again, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling. And I want you to know and understand that that happens, and I say it two times at the same time. Anytime you are experiencing something through the sense gates, you are also experiencing it with the eye of your spirit. When you see a thing, you see it spiritually. You perceive it spiritually. When you hear a thing, you're hearing it with your ears that are in your spirit. And I had actually forgotten that you are a triune being. You don't just hear these things twice. They are heard three times because your soul also has eyes, ears, thought processes. As a man thinketh in his heart, okay, to let you know that there is some spiritual thinking going on in the heart of man, in the spirit of man, okay? So we are making and developing this formation of a belief system in our soul, our spirit, and with our senses, okay, of all of them, including our body. So that's probably why we have such a hard time, because we don't take the time to understand which part we're actually developing the greatest, the better, okay? We have to begin to understand that because I see things in the natural, I've got to understand that my spirit man is also perceiving and coming up with a formulation of belief system. So then I need to take heed, the Bible says, what I hear. If I'm just letting my spirit suck up anything because my soul is the one trying to get information, then I'm not understanding that I am assessing my information on the lowest level of learning. Okay? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So then I need to begin to open up my understanding, or as the Bible in Ephesians chapter 1 says, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. See, I should not just look at something at face value, if you would, from my sense knowledge that comes is connected to my sensory perception, touch, taste, all that, just that. Okay? And it was interesting because the Bible tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, I don't know. Y'all help me out. Can you go and take a bite out of God? No, but you can experience the sense of what's happening spirit to spirit. See? You don't have to just stop at a goosebump or a feeling in your soul. Okay? If you're going to deal with God, we should deal with him spirit to spirit. Okay? That's just something that we should begin to look at and really dig into. You know, take the time to understand how God wants to, is seeking to help you develop your spirit man. Okay, we'll try this. Let's just do this. The Bible commands us to grow in grace. Okay? And in your soulish realm, you could think that as I grow in grace, I'm just going to be forgiven for the mistake that I made. God's not mad at me. He gave me grace. So since he gave me grace, I grew in grace. I have more of it. No, you didn't grow in grace. You just frustrated the grace of God. Okay? If you grow in it, you should understand, since grace is a spiritual force, it is to be perceived in my spirit man so that it can be then taken to this fullest extent in all areas of my being, my spirit, my soul, and my body. And as we ended that, we're going to go back to Hebrews that says we're supposed to exercise our senses. Okay? He was just not talking about the lower level of sensory perception, which would be in the flesh. We should not only get it in the soul, but we should get it in the spirit so that we would then be able to grow up and look like the God who created us. We should not be mistakes going somewhere to happen, accidents going somewhere to happen. We have been called to purpose. And since we've been called to purpose, then we should function on purpose, not because of mistakes. I was amazed when I first got the revelation that grace was not for my mistakes. Grace was so that I can understand how to begin to walk in the Spirit. I have access to this grace wherein we stand, okay? And I began to know that, okay, I've got to process information from a different perspective, from a higher vantage point, okay? Like I said, our sense of smell has a spiritual connotation because it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you sense things in the Spirit, that's just like what your nose does. In the natural, you smell it. The Bible says that we have the ability to offer to God a sweet-smelling savor. God is a spirit, and he has the ability in his spirit to smell. Okay? So then, you have the ability to offer fragrance to God. And that has to be a spiritual exchange. You know, I come into understand that our flesh just thinks. So then, if I only bring God my flesh, how can I bring him a sweet-smelling savor? My flesh stinks all the time. Come on, y'all. Get that as an understanding. Because if you do understand that, then you will see how God wants to deal with us. He wants to deal with us the same way he dealt with David. He told David that God does not look at the container. He looks at the inward man or the heart of man. Okay? Let's just open your eyes here. Look at how this is laid out before you. If I'm always coming to God, if I'm always coming to God apologizing for all the stuff I did, then I didn't understand that my spirit has the ability to grow up so that it can then dominate my flesh. I could bring my flesh under subjection so that I don't have to keep going to God apologizing for all of the stuff I allowed. Because my spirit man started growing up, okay? We're going to have to understand how to approach God, how to please God. And we do understand that because we have been trained from earth senses of touch, taste, feel, we've been trained that way, then we try to function with God from the lowest level, again, of a relationship. Okay. God is interested in maturation process, a relationship that's going deeper, expanding. When you first meet somebody, you don't have a deep relationship. It is a surface, what we call, relationship. But the more time you spend with those people, whoever they are, the relationship is supposed to deepen or go to another level. Why is it that we keep coming to God as spoiled children? Because we still deal from the perspective of, you know, I blew it, God. You know my heart. I mean, I almost hate that. Because God does know your heart. He's trying to expose it to you so that you can then change your heart. So that you can walk into the glorious liberty that he's called you to. Instead of functioning under bondage. The body has the spirit contained. Once you understand how to function from the spiritual perspective, you will no longer have to deal with the limitations that the body presents you. Apostle called me today. I was just talking and just some things happened. And he reminded me of something that's just so good. Jesus brings revelation. Because revelation comes from the Father. That's what the Bible says. Jesus, when he talked to Peter, said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Revelation comes from the Father. Information comes from the devil. Because he's giving you information or a report of a thing that should be, might be, could be. The Father does not give you information. The Father gives you revelation. He tells you what is. He gives you the accurate account of. Not supposition, accurate. You've got to remember, the devil is the father of lies. He's the father of perceived information. Okay? You might want to take your time and write that one down. The devil is the father of lies, perceived information. God deals by revelation. And when he, the spirit of truth has come, he will show you all things, teach you all things, bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said, show you things to come. See, that's revelation. That's not information. If you go to your Bible and all you left with is information, then you just got robbed. Because Jesus did not promise that he would build his church up on information. He said he would build his church upon revelation. Why, Jesus? Because the gates of hell cannot stop, prevail against revelation. But if you're only processing information, then the more lies that you hear, the more fear that you will experience, the easier it is for the devil to stop you, because all you have is information. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He did not say you shall know facts or information and derive liberty from information. See, these are the things we go after information because of our sense knowledge. Then if it feels good to us, we will accept it as truth. I'm trying to help you make sense out of your senses. I'm trying to elevate your thinking so that you will no longer be on the lowest plane of information gathering. You will go to a higher plane of revelation and inspiration. Because information without revelation and inspiration ends up in frustration, desperation, and perspiration. But if you take the revelation, then you will use the inspiration, you will have a destination. Okay? This is what I'm trying to begin to get us to thinking about. and inspiration, revelation. Notice this. This is what they do. They work hand in hand. You know, the law of testimony comes into play when we formulate our belief system. If we're going to use it from just the natural senses, then our seeing and our hearing ends up being what we speak. That becomes to us the law of testimony. Everything is established in the mouth or two or three witnesses, or it is established and by what two processes of information gathering is. Okay? If I gather information or if I gather my revelation by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, because the Bible was written the way inspiration came to us, revelation came to us. In 1 Peter, it tells us that the men of old were inspired by the Holy Ghost and they wrote the Bible. It is an inspired word. It is a word of revelation and inspiration. Okay? It is the testimony of two. Inspired, spirit-breathed words revealed by the Holy Spirit. Revelation and inspiration. That's truth. Information that does not have revelation. I did not say that information does not enlighten. And that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm trying to get us to, these are not semantics. We've got to begin to think differently. Okay, I'm getting all of my revelation, my downloads from God are going to come by his word, by his spirit. And since they're coming by his word, they are going to speak spirit to spirit. God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. Notice, just so that you can see this, beloved, trying to get you to understand, God speaks a word, but then the word should be confirmed. He's the one that said, let every word be confirmed in the place where two witnesses agree, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay? So then I've got to begin to process it that way. I can't get my information that's going to cause revelation to work in my life from just facts. Okay? If I do that, then I'm going to frustrate the grace of God. Why do you think that God set it up so that a word that was spoken has to be confirmed by the Spirit? Just because you read a word, you can't function on a word that's just read. It has to be a word that is inspired, God-breathed. Logos, rhema. The two forms of the word of God, written and inspired, breathed. Rhema, a living word. A word just spoken is waiting for confirmation of the Spirit. Every single one of them. If I don't have confirmation of the Spirit, then I don't function in the advantage that God gave us as believers. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, the thing is done by his Spirit. Okay? I'm just trying to line you up so that you will begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to spend time in the word and study. That's necessary. But I have to spend time waiting on revelation. Because if all I got is information, there are a ton of people that have gone to seminaries and they have a boatload of information. And those people with that boatload of information also have said that Jesus is not the Son of God, that there is no way there could be a virgin birth. They have information, and they don't have inspiration. And so they argue with the word, and that's what we've done because we did not make sense out of our senses, not just the first five, but all three, the trilogy of the five. Okay? I brought this up last time to show you how your sense of smell works with a spiritual connotation, because you can smell, if you have a microwave popcorn and you smell the aroma of that popcorn, you start preparing yourself for good eating. But if you smell the burnt aroma coming from the microwave, disappointment set in, because we experience things in the natural and we exercise and develop our spiritual comprehension and form our belief system from that. Okay? What we hear becomes what we speak. What we see and hear becomes what we speak. The things that we touch and taste, they are reported as our perception of experiential truth. All right? Because, you know, the way we have formulated a belief system is by what we have experienced. Okay? And I'm not going to throw that away. I'm just going to try to give the caveat of you should learn how to experience it in the spirit by the spirit. Okay? Don't just experience it because it happened. Okay? Go to the Holy Spirit and allow him to teach you the why of a thing. If any man lacks wisdom, he can ask God. See, come on, y'all, come on. See, I could learn from other people that went through the experience, and I can ask them. All I'm going to get is their experience. I'm not going to get revelation. I'm going to get information, experiential knowledge. But if I ask the Holy Ghost, if I ask the Father, he will then be able to give me inspired revelation. This is how we should function. This is how we should live. Okay? Sometimes it seems that the things in our life, we've been placed right in the middle of our past and our destiny. And we try to find out where we're supposed to go in our destiny through our experience. And so what do we listen to find out what our destiny should be in that case? We listen to our past. How crazy is that? Let me just help you out. Let me just help you out. Your past can never determine your destiny. Your past was very simply a practice test run. If you didn't get it right, go back and do it again. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He didn't say if you didn't do it right, go ask your neighbors. But that's what we do. We'll go try to get a word to be established. That's good. We'll try to go get a word to be established from someone that can't establish the word. They can only establish their experiences. Come on now, let's keep John chapter 8, let's keep it together. If you continue in my word, then are you disciplined in what you do, my disciples indeed. And because you're disciplined in what you do by my word, then are you my disciples. And because you are my disciples, you will know the truth, become intimate with the truth. Come on, y'all. You will become intimate with. It's one thing to be introduced to the truth. It's another thing to be intimate with the truth. Just because you were introduced to a truth does not mean that you became intimate with it, that you know it very well as truth, not as experience. Take your time and hear this. See, if I continue to just be intimate with my experience, then how can I get to my place of destiny? My experience is going to block me. Someone else's experience is going to block me because they're going to tell me what happened to them, and then what causes in my heart is going to be a drawing back. Okay? But if I go talk to the Holy Ghost, he will always give me a word of encouragement and ask me to do some things. Watch this. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. Because even in the midst of our storms, Jesus is trying to teach us and get us to stop listening to the senses of the lower level. Okay? This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But we're going to kind of dig into it and see how Peter and the disciples went back, reverted to their understanding from sense knowledge of the flesh. Okay? Watch this. Chapter 14, verse 22 to 32. It says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him, to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is the spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, O Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. Now, let's go back into this and kind of dig in and see where the faith of experiential knowledge kicked in instead of the faith of hearing a word. Okay? So it says that Jesus constrained his disciples to go on the ship, to go on the other side. And when the things begin to happen, I want you to notice, pay attention to the timeline that's here. Pay attention to the details that are here. Okay? Notice this. One of the things that Jesus told them before, to go to the other side. There is the first bit of information. Jesus told them their destiny. Okay? Before you go, beloved, before you go to your destiny, you should hear your destiny. You might not like the course that you have to go through to get to it, but you need to remember that you've already been given a destiny. Okay, please, please, please understand that. See, because the devil will lie to you through your experience and your journey to make you think that you never had a destiny. Okay, before the trouble came up, they had a destiny. You might want to write that down. I have a divine destiny, period. God gave you one. And then he also gave you, with your destiny, he gave you the measure of faith to make sure you can achieve your destiny. All right, we'll do it that way. If you have received the measure of faith, and the Bible says he's given to every man the measure of faith, then you should know that the measure of faith was given so that you can accomplish your destiny. Okay? Yes, I understand that the first level of your destiny, junction of your destiny, is going to be faith. Got that. But that's the beginning of your salvation. The end of your salvation, the end of the work of faith, is to please God. Do you think that God would not be pleased with you if he gave you a destiny and you were supposed to fulfill it and you didn't? Do you think God would be pleased with that? No, because he gave you everything. Come on now. He's given you all things that pertain to life and that pertain to godliness. He's already given you those things. So your destiny was not even an issue. Okay, watch the timeline here. and begin to hear things with your spirit man, not just your natural man. Because I understand that when things begin to happen, we listen at the lies from the person that we've been talking to the most. Beloved, your spirit man has to be trained to hear. He has to be trained to obey. He has to be trained to enjoy. Okay, come on now. See, because if you don't train him, then you will go back and revert to the things you've already done. That's not your destiny. Things you've already done is not your destiny. Things you've already done is your past. Let's find out what the destiny is. Notice what Jesus told them, gave them their destiny from Jump Street. He said unto them, go to the other side. And then, okay, just as Jesus does, then he goes and prays. He's not just praying to the Father to get information, because you've got to remember, this is what the Bible says. He watches over his word to perform it. So then how is he going to make sure that his word is going to be executed by you? That's going to be a matter of prayer. That would be one of the reasons that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession, because his directions to you, his destiny to you, is now going to be prayed out, his part and your part. He's going to do his part. He's faithful to do his part. The challenge is we're not doing our part. We are going to function just like the disciples. We're going to get messed up. Watch this. First thing we see is he told them to go to the other side. And there was an interesting phrase that they used here. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. Now, that means there was a lot of fellowship, intense fellowship, over whether or not they're going to go to the other side. It could have been they don't want to leave Jesus. That could have been a conversation. And he had to keep telling them, no, go ahead, I got this. Okay? It could have been, and this is one thing as I looked through this today, it could have been because they were fishermen, they might have seen a storm coming up on the sea. Because a fisherman knows how to discern by the face of the water. Okay? That is a possibility. It didn't say what they had to talk about, but they had to talk about a lot because it said he constrained them to go before him while he sent the multitudes away. And then verse 24 says, but, okay, wait a minute, let's go so you can see it. Verse 23, and he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's why I said they probably could see the storm coming, because they were fishermen. But Jesus constrained them, told them they got to go. And then when he went to pray, he was evidently bringing them with him in prayer, because he saw them throughout the transition. He said he was in the mountain, and he could see the ship was now in the midst of the sea. He could see the ship was tossed with the waves. He could see that the wind was contrary. Okay? So Jesus is aware of every trial and attack that you have after he's given you your destiny. Okay? You can get that right there on that scripture. He told them, go to the other side. Prayed, and then he could see through prayer what was happening. And he knows how long they've been dealing with these issues, because it says in a time right there, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. In the fourth watch of the night. So when he said go, that it wasn't the fourth watch. Okay? Let's just make it the third watch. Okay, and he then kept his eye on them in prayer, in the spirit, even to the fourth watch of the night. And he saw the wind, he saw the waves, okay? So he was understanding what was happening. And then he did something very interesting here. He walked to them upon the same thing that was an issue for them. See, you have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows what you're going through because he's right there as you go through it. Okay? He's with you in it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? So then it says that Jesus in the fourth watch went to them walking up on what was causing them issues. He was showing them right then and there that he was the master of every situation, every circumstance that could come at him from any direction. He was the master of the waves, the wind, and their fears. Because notice what they did when they saw Jesus walking on the water, verse 26, they were troubled and they began to talk crazy, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. They began to try to get information from the spirit of fear. They cried out for fear, it says. It did not say they cried out in fear. They were trying to get information from the source they'd always gotten information from, the lower level of things. And information, come on now, information that is not inspired, that does not have revelation, information can carry fear. I want you to catch that. Oh, my God, please see that. Information by itself can carry fear. If I have inspiration, fear is removed. If I have revelation, fear is removed. If I understand through revelation and inspiration, fear is removed. But if I'm going to relegate my revelation only to information, then fear is going to stop me every single time. Because I'll say things because God revealed to me what he wants me to do, and I'll say things like, "I can't." That's because I lowered the revelation to only information. I mean, come on, just go over your life. How many times have you done that? How many times have you drawn back, as the Bible says? We are not those that draw back unto perdition, but we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. See, we've got to go beyond what we know, what we have known. We've got to go to the place where the revelation is now alive and working. The spirit of prophecy. See? We have a more sure word of prophecy that we would do well, that we would take heed as a day that dawns. We've got to get to the place where we let the revelation work in our heart. Not just let the information work on our heart. Because information by itself can bring fear. Okay? So that's what I want you to kind of see these things. Look at the, pay attention to the details. Pay attention to the timeline. Okay? So, as soon as they, notice what Jesus does here. They were troubled and they cried out for fear. And then it says, and straightway, or right now, or immediately. As soon as Jesus sees the fear that's gripping our heart, there will be a word that will come to us. As soon as, straightway, Jesus spake unto them, and he spake a word. Straightway. Now, I don't know how far he was from them in proximity. Okay? Doesn't matter. They experienced fear or information without revelation, information without inspiration, that will cause fear. It's a spirit. And they were afraid and they cried out for fear. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "Have a different outlook and expectation." He said, "It is I. Recognize,
remember and restore what I told you. Be not afraid. Remove and release fear from your thoughts. See, they were gathering information from the sense that they had experiential knowledge of. They had waves, and to them, the waves meant, no, you can't get to the other side, even though Jesus said, go to the other side. To them, the contrary winds meant, no, we're not going to make it to the other side. The fear brought them to the place where they would say, no, we're in trouble and we can't go. And Jesus came to them to show them he has mastery over information that does not have revelation. And he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to thee upon the water. And he said, come. Every request that we make must be answered and confirmed. If you ask, there will be an answer. Even if you ask amiss, there will still be an answer. He says you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lust. He did not say don't ask. He said find out if your asking is accurate. If it's not, fix it. See, you don't have to stay in a place of limbo. God wants you to know. Otherwise, he would have not said to you, I do not want you to be ignorant. He would not have said to us that my people are destroyed because they don't know. He just told us how to stop the process of destruction. Revelation, inspiration, knowledge from the right perspective. See? So he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. And every request must be answered, and when it is answered, it is confirmed. And the confirmation will be followed by, it will be connected to, further instructions. If it's you, bid me come. It was him. What else did Jesus say since it was him? Jesus couldn't say, it's not me. Jesus couldn't say, you ain't got no business walking on the water. Because the whole reason Jesus came to them is to show them how to have mastery over circumstances, over situations that would arise, over storms that would arise in your life. That's the reason he did that. Because he came to teach us. He came to show us. He came as an example for us that we can follow his example. So then he's not going to show you how it's done without opening up an opportunity for you to do it. So then Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, well, it's me, come. I mean, he didn't even make it hard, y'all. He gave a one word destiny. Come on now. A one word affirmation. Come. And then look what happened. And when Peter was come down on the out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. If Peter had never got out of the ship, would Peter have walked on the water? No. But because Peter, in that moment, Peter was real good at grasping things moment by moment. Sometimes he didn't hold on to it, but he was good at grasping them. He was not afraid to grasp a promise. He was not afraid to engage in a word from God. Peter had that kind of unction about himself. Soon as he got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, he was happy. But then right after that, he said, no, you can't die. And Jesus said, get thee behind me. You don't savor, you don't enjoy, you don't like the stuff that God gives you. You just grab it and run with it, and then it don't work. You throw it away. No, savor it. Find a way to work it into your very fiber. Because whatever word God gave you for your destiny is still your destiny. The promise is for you. It's not for another. It's not for another time or season. The promise is for an expected time. That's the way God thinks of you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to give you or to bring you to an expected end. My thoughts are supposed to move you. My thoughts are supposed to get you to come from place A to place B. You're supposed to change dimensions because of my word. That's how you know it's working, because you didn't stay or fight and wrestle with it. Okay, that's good, sir. We don't have to wrestle with the word anymore. We have the liberty now to walk in the word. Glory to God. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, you ain't got to wrestle with the thing no more. Stop wrestling. Begin to understand with your spirit, man. Open the sensory perception of your spirit and say, this is what God said, I will then do it. He said it, I will obey. He said it, I will enjoy. I don't have to wrestle with God anymore. Jesus came and he gives gifts to men. He's not, okay, that's good. He's not displaying gifts. He's giving gifts to men. Amen. Amen. So then if someone's giving gifts, my job now is to receive. My job is not to wrestle to try to get. He's already showed his heart's position. He gave gifts. Okay? So he said, if it's you, bid me to come to you in the water. And Jesus said, come. I want you to see a couple of things here. Peter, according to the scripture, let's just look at it so that you can see it. Verse 29 says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It did not say he walked in the water. It said he walked on the water. Some people said that Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word. Okay, I'll give you that. Because the word will come, and the word will sustain you. Please hear this, brothers and sisters. The word of God will sustain you no matter what you're going through. No matter what you have to travel to get to the victory, the word that he gave you that engages you in the victory will be the word that will sustain you. Just learn that. Believe that. Grasp that. So I don't have a problem with Peter walking on the word. But I want you to see something here. Watch this. Peter engaged his faith on the water. Hear his words. If it be you, then bid me come to you on the water. He said where his faith was located. It's located on top of this situation. On the water. And Jesus gave him a word that met his faith that was on the water. And the rhema word that he gave him was, come. And then from that word, that living word, rhema word, revealed word, Peter walked on the water. Peter entered into another dimension. He told them in the very beginning, go to the other side. I know that it was talking about a city on the other side, but there's always a spiritual meaning to a word that comes out of a spirit man. Jesus was a spirit alive man. He trained himself to allow the Spirit of God to dwell on the inside of him. And the same promise is for us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if my words are alive in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. See, he's asking us to come over to the other side, to enter into another dimension. When you go to the other side, you go to a place where faith knows no limits and no boundaries. You go to a place where space, time, and gravity function above the confines of experiential sensory perception, or what is known as ESP. Wow. When I said that, I heard that today, I almost shut up. Because extrasensory perception is what they said. God invited us to get to the place where our extra senses are engaged. The devil perverts everything. He did not create anything. So then I need to get to the place where my lively hope inside of my spirit man takes me past experiential perception. See? Experiential sensory perception. That is what has locked us up. That's our ESP. We need to go to the place where we understand that I can get out of ESP. I can function by revelation of a word that is alive, that is eternal. And look what happens. See, we can go right quick, fall right back into the trap that the devil gives us. Because here it said right there, verse 29, and Peter came out of the ship, walked on the water. But then the devil say, I can't let him do that. And then Peter started looking at how he normally gathers information. He went back to ESP, experiential sensory perception. And he saw the wind, boisterous. He was afraid. Notice, when he got this information without inspiration, fear was present. He saw the wind. His eyes saw circumstances. And because he saw the wind was boisterous, fear from that information, fear that entered because he did not have inspiration and revelation. Revelation made him move. Jesus said, come. That was a live, active, inspired word. And on that word, he walked on the water. And then he started going back to receiving information from experiential sensory perception. And fear came with that information. And he feared. He became afraid. And beginning to sink, he started talking from his experience again. Come on, y'all. Come on. If you would get this, what we see and what we hear will become our words. What we taste and what we taste and what we touch will then become the way we perceive or understand. See? He saw the wind. He began to get information from a place that ushered in fear. And he began to sink. I'm glad it said began to sink. It didn't say he was drowning. It just said he began to sink. Instead of the water being under his feet, his knees was in the water. And then when Jesus saw that again, immediately, I want you to see the response of Jesus. Every time fear came into the situation, immediately, straightway, Jesus moved. Every time. Okay? And then Jesus was not mad at him. Jesus gave him information that he should be able to process differently. He asked him a question. Why did you doubt? Why did you go back to little faith? Actually, little faith made the man walk on water. Okay? That's what Jesus said. He said little faith. Peter walked on the water with little faith. Good God Almighty. Can you imagine if we go ahead and develop our faith? All things then become possible to us because we put our faith on the circumstance. In the middle of the trial, we put our faith there. Jesus will meet us at the place we put our faith. Bid me come to you on the water. See? And Jesus met his faith on the water, on top of the circumstance. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Jesus functions in two dimensions simultaneously. And he showed us, allowed Peter, and the thing that got me is everybody that was in that boat, as soon as Peter got out, they could have said, I want to come too, Lord. And ain't nothing Jesus could have said but come. He couldn't have said, no, this is for me and Peter. He's no respecter of persons. So if they were in the boat looking at this, if they would have engaged in faith and said the same thing Peter said, I want to come too, he would have said, come on. You could have, at that point, right then and there, you could have put all shipmakers out of business. Because all the everybody would have been talking about, look here, let's learn to walk on this water. And then he said, well, it's done by faith. They would have said, okay, man, show us how faith works. And like I said, here you go. There's the man that calls us faith to work. They that know that God will be strong, they will do exploits. They'll do stuff like walk on water. He said, why did you doubt? Oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? And then watch this. When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus still walked in the dimension that he's normally walking in because they then went to the ship. I would suspect that they walked on the water on the way to the ship. Jesus wasn't walking all underneath the water. It said that he was walking to them in the middle of the night on the sea. So he's not going to stop walking on the sea now because he's carrying Peter. Oh, all of a sudden, it's just too much weight for Jesus to walk on the water because he got Peter. No, that didn't bother Jesus. And that's what he was showing us, beloved, as we are supposed to bear one another's burden. Come on now, that ties together. As we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, then you don't have to be taken down because of the burden. If you have the faith that he gave you from the word come, then go ahead and do that, and you will be able to support everybody that's walking with you. Because it says when they were coming to the ship, the wind stopped. They were able to perceive that the dimension that Jesus calls normal is available to you and to you, and it will separate all of the issues that you've been going through. They stopped immediately when they were come to the ship, trial over. So we should always walk the way Jesus walked because we're walking in the authority and the victory that gives God glory and honor. We learn to walk the way he walked because this is his norm and he's inviting us into another dimension. See, we got to decide that we're going to grow up. God's waiting on us, beloved. Our destiny is waiting on us. The only thing we should say is yes and amen. That should be our only conversation. We should not be crying out for fear. We should not allow fear to form our words. Come on, y'all. You can see what happened. He saw the wind boisterous. He became afraid, and then he began to cry, Lord, save me. It was no longer a request of faith. It was a request of fear. The request of faith was, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Let me do what you do. And Jesus said, come on, walk in faith. And then Peter saw the wind, and he said, oh, Lord, now help me. Notice, come on now, you can hear the difference between faith and fear. Peter did not say, if it's you, Lord, help me walk on the water. Do you see the difference? When my information comes by the process of my lower sense level, then I have the ability to receive fear with it. But when my inspiration comes from revelation, there is no fear attached. I begin to believe I can do all things. Faith said, Lord, just tell me to come. Fear said, Lord, save me. Lord, I ain't gonna make it. Lord, give me some help. I am not saying that a request for help is just because you don't believe God. I'm saying that the information that you're processing is evident that it came from the place that faith was not alive, because when you have information by itself, it will bring fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Faith works by love. So when my faith is alive, when my faith is working, my love, I'm acute to the love that's happening in my life. I am listening to the voice of love, and then my voice, the faith that I'm hearing from the voice of love, is now heightened to the point where I can believe that I can do all things. But if I'm just processing information, I don't have inspiration, and I don't have revelation, love is not active, and then the information is going to cause me to draw back unto perdition, draw back unto missing, doing without a portion. That's what sin is defined as. It's not doing the wrong thing, doing bad. It's being without a portion. But when I have love active and working, then I am no longer without a portion. Now my faith can work by the portion of love. I can work because it will work because the word spoken is a word that is active. It is a word that I can live by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When it comes out of the mouth of God, it comes out of love. It comes out of faith. So then because it comes out of love in faith, I can now do things because my faith is able to please my God. I am able to understand that yes and amen is all I'm going to say. It's all I'm going to function in. I cannot be limited. I cannot be stopped. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? There is no way that this thing doesn't work. He who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up, will he not also with him freely give us all things? Come on. That's his love. For God so loved, he gave us an entrance into another dimension. Yes, it starts with salvation, but it ends with you being the one that has dominion. You being the one that is fruitful. You being the one that can multiply. You being the one that can subdue the earth. You being the one that can now replenish the earth with that which is good, because love is of God. God is good. And so because now I'm living in the goodness of God, I can replenish the earth with goodness. That's what the whole earth is groaning and travailing for the goodness of God to be released, revealed in me, and released through me, because I know I'm now making sense of my senses. I'm allowing God to do what God started doing from the very beginning. I am not found as one that continues to fight with the word and then try to wrestle a blessing into my life. I walk in the fullness of the love of God, where he has called me and caused me to be able to experience victory from there. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we just bless you that you are showing us that even in the trial, you are there to teach us, to cause us to grow up so that we will be more than a conqueror in every situation, in every trial, that we will learn to listen for your word, listen for your voice, and then obey your spirit so that we can come out of the trial by walking on top of the thing that was troubling us. We will not be those that are overcome, but we will be overcomers, Father. We thank you that that's what you are stirring up on the inside of us so that we can walk victorious in this present time, that you will reveal your grace that has appeared unto us so we'll know how to live in this present world. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor, committing it to you as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless you, Jesus.
All right, folks. Let's get ready. We're going to open up the lines to give feedback to Pastor Steve about tonight's lesson. Area code 256.
Thank you, Lord.
256.
Hello. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hey, sister, how are you?
I'm good. Amen. Amen. I'm believing God that this was an answer for situations for you, because when we don't allow the faith that God has given us to grow, then we're not allowing the pleasure that our Father deserves to be given to Him. So I just want you to know that I sense the peace of God that goes beyond your understanding, making an entrance into your heart, an entrance into your mind, so that you will be able to withstand and push back every lie of the enemy, every attack of the enemy. He says, to allow my word to be the shield, to protect you, to insulate you, and to allow you to grow. Yea, saith God, grow in my word, and as you grow, you will see my victory unfold before you. It will be sweatless, because my love will be complete in you. So grow in my love. Grow in my grace. My peace will carry you.
Amen.
And will not forsake you. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Area code 612.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, God.
612.
Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Area code 845.
God bless and good evening, brothers.
Hey, good evening. Amen.
Glad to hear you. How's it going, guys? Brother Steve, as always, I am very blessed to listen here. I'm always enjoying every single minute, every single moment here. A little bit that resonated with me while you were talking was that God gives revelation, but the devil gives information.
Correct.
And,
good.
Amen. And that resonated with me. Like what I thought about that was that how it's much more, I guess, spiritual with when you're walking with Jesus Christ, and
mm-hmm.
how Satan kind of gives like a counterfeit or more just like
mm-hmm.
like worldly knowledge. You know what I mean?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I got from that. I mean, because I'm always you know talking to God, and I'm always like, man, I want revelation. I want to be deeper. I want to like understand.
Mm-hmm.
The deeper things of God, you know, because I know that there's so
mm-hmm.
much that we haven't even, you know, even like tapped into yet, you know.
Right. Correct.
And I know there's a lot of worldly knowledge out there, and there's a lot of information out there now. This is pretty much like the age where that's all we have. We have internet access. We have everything at our hands. But when I'm reading the Word of God and I'm trying to like meditate on it, it's
mm-hmm.
more than just that type of knowledge. You know, it's just so much more
right.
deeper. And if everything started with God, then there is nothing that God doesn't know. So you really can't
right.
you know,
right.
surprise God. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, that was one thing that definitely resonated with me. And yeah, I of course, we all have a divine purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, I'm just trying to just stay steady in Christ and grow and please Him. And, you know, one day, you know, I mean, I guess I could start today, you know, every day as I walk, but definitely just focusing on getting to know God and the deeper things in Him, in the spirit.
Right.
Amen.
And that's always good. And you brought up the point again. Like that was something I was like as I was talking to Apostle today, and that's what was what I heard. And it was just interesting because, see, if we stop at just knowledge or information and we make that our entrance into God, then we don't get past the veil, if you would. Okay?
Yep.
Because the Bible tells us things about knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Okay?
Mm-hmm. True.
Okay, let's just say that slow. It says knowledge puffs up, all right? Knowledge looks bigger than what it is. Okay? That's what puffs up means, right? And see, knowledge mm-hmm. looks bigger, but revelation is accurate because it's not going to be something that's going to change. Come on now. Knowledge puffs up.
Amen.
Mm, that's just good. I hadn't looked at it that way.
It's like a blowfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowledge kind of gets like a blowfish. Like it just makes itself.
And what does he do that for?
Bigger.
What does he do that for? That's his defense mechanism, isn't it?
A defense mechanism, yeah. Intimidation.
No, you. If you're in a defense posture, you don't get to enter in. You now become a thief and a robber.
Amen.
Okay? Because in the wrong position, in a warrior position. See, we don't have to come in as warriors. We come in as sons.
Glory. Amen. Yeah. In love.
Yes.
At peace. Amen.
So it's different. So I see that. That's good. I appreciate that.
Amen. So do I, brother. Amen. It's always a blessing here, brother. Brother. Thank
Amen.
You so much, guys. Brother Mike, brother Sweet.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Shalom, brother.
Glad to be a blessing.
Yes, amen. Always. Shalom, brother. You have a good night, guys.
Shalom. I'll do that. You too.
Me too.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
All right, we're going to go back to area code 612. 612, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
How are you?
Hi, God bless you, Paul.
Amen. Amen. Was that did you hear the whole ministry?
Most of it, yeah. I have to go back and forth because I'm in a public place. But you are a blessing to me. I thank God.
Amen. That's what we're here for. We are the ones that have been chosen. Wow, that's true, sir. We have been chosen to bring about something that has never happened in the earth before. We are going to usher in the very presence of God because He's coming to crack the sky. So then we need to hear and become sensitive. Okay, we need to hear and become sensitive. That's okay. We need to hear and become sensitive to the thing that God wants to do so that we'll actually be ready for it. So I'm glad that you're here and able to help you. That's what the whole ministry's purpose is. Okay?
Yes.
So,
God bless
again,
you.
Amen. Thank you for being part of the ministry tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, folks. That is the end of tonight's broadcast. Pastor Lee, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Yeah, we'll do that. Father, again, we just thank you because of your great love that you love us. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit you are raising us up. You are growing us up. And, Father, you're removing the lies that information brings, and you're causing intimacy with revelation and inspiration so that we can be the true sons of God, that we can walk in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and we can hold forth the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can be those that move by advantage because you've given us the Spirit to profit with all. And Father, we thank you that that advantage is going to be seen because we're going to walk in the humility required to cause people to know that there is a God, that He is in the earth,
that he's alive, well, and moving to cause victory to be given to his children. We give you praise for that. Glory and honor. Committed it to you is done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we will see you again here tomorrow night, if it is the Lord's will, on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Please don't forget to sow a seed here. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you have heard here, and also for those of you in the A school, please don't forget about make sure you check in, make sure you got your downloads, and let Apostle Emmett know that you were able to receive them. And for those who haven't, please send him your Skype username so that way you can get registered. And for those who haven't registered, the Apostolic A School is being hosted by Live Deliverance here. It is a ministry. It's a 16-week course on the ministry of deliverance, 4 months, actually, of deliverance teaching, learning about casting out of spirits, healing, and much, much more. If you are interested and would like to take part in the Apostolic A School, the cost is $150 per each participant. And just give us send us an email at OvertonNavy1, and we will get the information out there to you. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Shalom. God bless, and we will see you again here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com.
Shalom.
The Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in his presence and the spirit starts to soar. Flying, I mountain up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust him in me, but when things get worse, my hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you. Have the world change and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boy, young girls, trying to save yours. But who will teach them when the whole of one won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation. Turn off a BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man. And if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of this body and this tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you. As the world changes and try to take me from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a fleshly world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus.